Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophet and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. The main challenge in our Christian journey is consistency. Are we consistently following Jesus? Are we standing firm in the Lord? Israelites had the problem of faithfulness. They had the problem of following God regularly, sincerely. They have been taught repeatedly. They had witnessed God's action in their lives, in their journey, but still they were going away. So God called them by this name, stiff-necked people, stiff-necked people. That means repeated teaching is given to them. Repeatedly they have seen God's blessings, but they were drifting away. They were not obeying. Another way God called them, people who go astray. You cannot keep them in a place. They slowly slip away. If you catch a fish, it won't stay in your hand. It has got a surface which is slippery, and it goes away from your hand. That's the kind of people. That's the reason God called them people who go astray. The question comes to us this morning, are we like these Israelites? Are you faithful in following Jesus? Are you standing firm in the Lord? Some Pharisees came to Jesus and gave him death threat. They said, "Go away from here. Herod wants to kill you." Now, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, but he is still in the territory of Galilee. The king of Galilee is Herod, and he sent this message to Jesus through Pharisees. Some Pharisees came to him and said, "Go away." Now, this same Herod who killed John the Baptist, so this threat has got some substance. We cannot simply say that this threat has no meaning. But then the question comes, if he is wanting to kill Jesus, he could have easily caught him. In fact, he is threatening Jesus. Politicians are like that. They want to give you threat. They want to play with fear. They do fear tactics. It's a fear tactics, you know. "I am the king of this region. How can you be here?" A kind of a threat he is giving, a play of fear threat. Now, the fear is the reason we sometimes act funny. We yield to the threat, we yield to the fear, and we go away, and then we try to work around it. But how Jesus faced this threat, that's our discussion today. Because We are being threatened. We are being given, people come up with oppositions. People come up with a lot of things to say against us. How are we going to face? That's what we are going to discuss today. How our Lord Jesus faced this particular threat. Before we go into those three points, I also want to say that Satan is exactly like that. Peter says, be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan is like a roaring lion. He stands at a distance and he roars like a lion. He gives you the threat. He wants you to yield to that threat. But he can only stand at a distance, roar. He is like a roaring lion. He cannot do anything in your life. Unless you give him room, he cannot come near you. How are you going to face the threat Satan is giving you? How are you going to face the threat that comes from others? There are three things that I want to bring from this particular thing. Work is going to be as usual. This is going to be business as usual. That's what Jesus said to these Pharisees. Go and tell that fox, I'm going to work today, tomorrow, and day after. Two times he said the same here. There are two meanings come out of it. His work will continue. His work will continue. In spite of all the problems, in spite of all the oppositions in the world, his work will continue. No one can stop his work. As it is planned, everything will go forward. His kingdom grows continuously. Nobody can stop his work. That Jesus made it very clear here. I have planned to work for next 3 days. Nobody is going to stop me. His work continues. Secondly, Jesus says his work will complete on the third day. He would die for us on the cross, and the third day he would rise again. And this is already planned. It is going according to this plan. And until the third day, you know, it will continue. That Jesus made it very clear here. Yes, oppositions are going to come. People are going to threat you. How are you going to face? Stand firm in the Lord, because our Lord is on the throne. His kingdom grows continuously, and the heaven and the earth are filled with his glory. In our communion service, we say this: heaven and earth are filled with glory. Yes, every morning the sun comes, every night the moon comes, and everything declares his glory. Heaven declares the glory of God. He is on the throne for sure. Stand firm in the Lord. In our first reading, we read about Abraham becoming restless. He was getting old. He did not have his own child. Someone has to become the inheritor. And now he is settling down. He is settling down that let Eliezer be my heir. He be the inheritor. He be the next in line. But God said, no, your own son will be the heir. Abraham, probably at this time his name was Abram, and he is probably suggesting an easy solution to the Lord. Forget about all that. I'm getting old. My wife, Sarah, is getting old. Let's settle down with this. But God said, no. The circumstances were not in your favor. That's fine, Abraham. But I am going to give you a child. And after God said this, Abraham believed, and God's work he believed that God's work will continue as he promised. Stand firm. Someone said, everyone has a divinely appointed task. All of you who are sitting here has got a divinely appointed task. Submit to the Lord, and he will come to its fulfillment. Stand firm. Not like Abraham, who is trying to compromise and trying to find an easy solution. Stand firm. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of the Lord. He who has started a good work in you will make sure that it will come for completion. Now we need to ask this question: is Jesus careless about this threat? Should we take the threat that comes to our lives carelessly, lightly? I don't think so. Jesus knew for sure that this is not the threat that's going to take his life. His real threat is coming from Jerusalem. The religious leaders of Jerusalem are the ones who are going to kill him. He is not even worried about them. In fact, he is addressing to Jerusalem. And he is right going in the middle of the threat. And he is calling Jerusalem, Jerusalem. We will come to that a little later. So he is not worried about even the threat there. Because he is God, and he is setting an example for all of us. Threat will come. We will be mindful of such threat, but we shouldn't be yielding to that threat. There may be people coming against you. There may be people opposing you. But remember that God is your protector. He is the one who has placed you in this part of the world. There are three verses that I want you to remember. In Luke, Jesus himself says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Though I am the least one who has got less hair, but I cannot count all of mine. The second verse that I want you to remember is, he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Then Isaiah says this, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. So stand firm. Stay with the Lord. Nothing can happen to you unless he allows it. I don't know whether he allows it without informing that to you. Stand firm. God has a divinely appointed plan in your life. Give him room to work that out. The second point that I want to make is, this part of the journey is important. Jesus is saying that my work will continue the next 3 days. I have come here to bring healing to people. I have come here to cast out demons. My work will go on, and this particular period is part of the plan. You cannot simply wipe out this particular period's work. We tend to pass from one stage to another to avoid a particular patch. We are in a hurry. because this particular patch is very difficult to handle, so let me skip. No. We are traveling for a glorious finish. In our second reading, we read that, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming. Until then, every day is an important day. Every situation that we go through is important. Let us not try to hurry it up. Why we want to pass one particular patch? It is all because of fear. Why we want everything to be over quickly? Probably it is again fear. Will I be faithful till the end? Will I carry the cross till the end? Why don't everything happens immediately? Why don't Jesus come today so that I can be freed from all the trouble? I worked with an illiterate evangelist a long time ago. His name is Isaac Katara. He hardly went to school. We both went from village to village preaching the gospel. He repeatedly said this: we are the guest of this world. We are the visitors of this world. What he meant is that, look, I'm going through a difficult time. I have very less resources, and I want to see somehow God comes quickly so that we can escape from this world. I would say that idea is good, that this place is not our permanent place. We are living in this world for a shorter period, but our permanent place, our citizenship is not here. That understanding is correct. But having an understanding that I want to quickly pass it on, I want to quickly pass on, I want to hurry it up, that has a problem. Yes, he is coming soon. It does not mean we have to somehow skip these difficulty that we face in this world. Everything is given with a purpose. Some of us think like this: okay, anyway, Jesus is going to come. Why I should be doing work now? Everything is going to be over. Why I should worry about doing work now? No. Jesus is coming. It is a great motivation to action. It cannot make us lazy. It cannot hurry us up, but it can only motivate us to do the work. There are two things that I want to do. I want to bring it here. Why this patch is important? Why this journey is important? There are two things. Jesus wants to present us blameless before his Father. He wants to make us like him. I want to read Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Jude also says the same thing. He is the one who is able to keep you, present you blameless before the Lord. He has done everything on the cross for us. But he's still working in us. He is still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It just took 6 days for him to create the entire universe, but he is still working on me on a daily basis with every situation. So God is working on us. And we have to stand firm to see that his work continues. This year we have decided discipleship as our theme. That's the reason we have chosen these Bible words from Ephesians. Be completely humble and gentle. be patient, bearing with one another in love. The entire idea of this verse is that we need to be growing. We need to grow in Christian maturity. We have to grow in discipleship. And God is the one who allowed everything that you have in your life so that you can be shaped, you can be transformed, you can become the likeness of our Lord Jesus. That's the first one. The second one is, he is establishing his kingdom on this earth. His kingdom is growing, and he is establishing his kingdom with you and me. He doesn't just drop from heaven. He is working with you and me. Paul had this dilemma. He said, I am in tension. I like to be with the Lord. That's what I desire. But at the same time, I also want to be with you. This is what he says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So that's a tension. We all want to be there with the Lord, but at the same time, he wants to still work with you to fulfill his plan in this world. There is a task to complete. Stand firm in the Lord. This part of the journey is important. You may be going through a tough time now. You may be somebody pressing you all the sides, but stand firm. God has a purpose. He is the one who will help you out in every circumstances. The third point, the rejection would not affect his work. Now, there are threats. There are foxes around us. They reject us. They reject by showing our color, language, nationality, and culture. We are constantly being threatened. We are constantly being rejected. We are constantly being opposed. This is part of our life on this earth. Opposition will be there. Recently, in a big meeting, a bishop cried. Let me leave her name unnamed. She talked about microaggression. She talked about microaggression in her work. This is part of our journey. This is part and parcel of our work on this earth. But the work has to continue. Shall we run away if microaggression takes place? Shall we run away if people are going to oppose us? Jerusalem is always rejecting. Jerusalem is always opposing. It kills the prophets. It stones people who are sent to it. A place of opposition, a place of rejection. But Jesus is still wanting to embrace Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He is not accusing Jerusalem, always opposing God's work. He is not accusing Jerusalem, but he is lamenting, crying. Why twice Jerusalem, Jerusalem? This is seen in the scripture. Twice the name is repeated. Abraham, Abraham. Samuel, Samuel, Simon, Simon, Martha, Martha. Why twice the name appears? This is very interesting in the Bible. You can take that as a special study and see why twice name is said. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Two things come to my mind. Number one, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the news that I'm giving you is important. Is significant. Probably this is the last time you are going to listen to this news. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I'm giving you an important message. The second is very interesting. The second is intimacy. It's from a loving heart. It's coming from a longing heart. You cannot, if you are angry, you cannot say the name twice. If you're angry with your wife, you cannot call her name twice. Try it. The second time when you say, love will come. So Jesus is coming with the loving voice, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he is again giving Jerusalem an opportunity. Jerusalem, the house is left to you. We have tried enough. I have tried enough. But I am going to come once more. I will come once more. At that time, you are going to say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Yes, Jerusalem, I am willing to shelter you under my wings. Christianity is a strange faith. People reject you, people oppose you, but still you open your arms and welcome. Why? His kingdom is like that. His kingdom is like that. People are opposing. The most attacked religion in the world is Christianity. But Christianity is always standing with bearing heart, loving heart, embracing people. I had a very simple experience I want to just share with you. Once I was entering our compound where I worked before in Dubai, as I was entering through a small gate, someone stopped me. He wanted money. By looking at him, he's a very religious person. Let me leave his religion unnamed. His costume showed that he's a religious person. His appearance, everything. And he asked some help. I said, you know, we had some discretionary funds, so we always give help to people. Probably somebody told him, and therefore he came to our church. I said, come in, and we will give you some help. He refused to come in. He made it very clear that I need money, but I cannot come in. I don't respect your religion. I don't understand who you are. I don't want to know who you are. I needed money. I had the option of not to give him, but then I chose to give. It was just a step that he has to put in, then he would be in our compound. But he refused to come. This is the faith. The opposition is high. The people are rejecting us. But then we open our arms and trying to embrace people. That's our faith. That's our faith. It's all because of our Lord. He's building his kingdom like that. Probably because we are standing with open arms like our Lord Jesus. There's no other way except to come to Jesus. So the extra grace is shown to the people. Here, there are two animals mentioned. One is fox, another is hen, mother hen. Fox gives you threat, play, fear, tactic. But mother hen seeking to gather her chicks under her wings. Fox is cunning, deceiving, sly. Mother hen seek to protect. Fox is selfish. Mother hen willing to embrace. Willing to take the danger on her. And Jesus did that for us on the cross. And he took us all under his wings. And he died for us on the cross. So stand firm even when opposition knocks at your door. Because even during opposition, his work continues. His work will continue even in the midst of opposition. I want to finish with this illustration. Early American Indians had a unique way of training the young boys. Until they turned 13, They teach them hunting, scouting, and fishing. And they learn all the skills. The final test is given on his 13th birthday. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. On the night, they blindfold him, take him to the middle of the forest, take off the blindfold, and go away. He has to stay there overnight. In fact, he has to stand there overnight. He visualizes all the dangers during that night. Any time an animal may bounce on him, snake may move between his legs, something may fall on his head. He stands alone. The night, indeed, a long night for him. As the morning light breaks in, he sees a man standing just a few feet away, armed. When he sees closely, he sees his father. He stood all night there. You are sheltered. You are sheltered under the shadow of Almighty. So stand firm. His work is continuing in this world. So stand firm even at this difficult time. Stand firm even when people come against you, because his work has to continue. May the dear Lord help us so that we are always people who are standing firm in the Lord. God bless us all. Amen. We will stand to our feet and sing this response song, "I Will Wait For You."